This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Joe.
And I wanted to tell you about ForkFest 2024. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do is join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. Forkfest.party. Will you guys be going?
Yeah, I haven't bought tickets for ForkFest. I haven't gotten a campsite yet. I tried pretty hard to, like, you know, get money to do the man camp. You know, it's like expensive for me to do man camp. It's like a whole week of prep before I go. And it's a lot of stuff to bring up there. I got to make two trips back and forth. You know, bring up a whole nother trailer, and then. It isn't really something I can actually, like, that blacksmithing and forging, I just can't do it with my kids. Their frontal lobes aren't, you know, totally developed in their brains, so I can't, like, have them, you know, my 3-year-old or 2-year-old being, or they'll be 4 and 3, I can't have them, you know, hanging on to, forging iron, you know, a hot forge. It doesn't work. Both my kids do blacksmith, but it's with cold iron, and they basically just take little pieces of metal, and I got a little set of tongs set up, and then they take a little hammer, and they just bang it on the anvil.
That's kind of a way to, like, learn before they do it hot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't do it hot. It's just dangerous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my, you know, cutoff is 6 years old, because at 6 years old, most kids understand, you know, things are hot and things can burn.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is the only people who've really gotten injured doing man camp have been adults.
Oh.
Not kids.
Yeah.
But when we left off in the last segment, I was talking about how, you know, this kid I grew up with, who had all the same, you know, sort of upraising I had, except for his father went to jail, and, like, you know, his parents got divorced and stuff, but my parents were divorced too. Actually, my dad went to jail for a little while.
When you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was 8 years old.
Oh.
He was in jail for 30 days. He was arrested. He was targeted by the FBI, actually.
Who watched you?
My grandmother, and we had a lot of friends. You know, my stepmom was there.
Okay.
But anyways, my dad went through a jury trial. He defended himself, no lawyer, and he won. And anyways, it's a long story, but so he won. He beat the charges, you know, brought a massive lawsuit against the federal government that was, like, you know, just totally dismissed because, you know, all the judges are corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that a long time ago. But anyways, the moral of the story is like, I hear people talking about, like, you know, doing stupid things. Like, these farm kids you grow up with, they're like, oh, yeah, I used to get drunk and smoke a bunch of weed and go ride my dirt bike all over the place. And they're like, these guys are like 40 and 50 years old or 35 years old, and they're like, and they're bragging about this crap in front of their kids, you know, and that's just one example. Or just things like that. So it's like you really got
to. It's like you really want your kids to think you were cool, so you're bragging in front of them about something can't do anymore, like the old days.
What they're doing is they're bragging to their buddies about the dumb things they did.
And they think that their kids won't be affected.
And the kids are there. They're not, like, sitting there telling the kids, like, exactly. But, you know, the kids are kind of, like, listening, you know, third party.
Yeah.
And
my mom thinks that I don't remember so much stuff that she talked about in front of me.
And
I remember being 1 year old.
And so what happens is, when you have these conversations of, like, doing, like really dumb stuff, or breaking the law, like, you know, I for example am a very much a law abiding individual, or man, I don't break the law. You know, the law is don't steal, don't kill, you know, don't lie, don't break, violate contracts. So I don't do any of those things. You know, all this statutory stuff is not law. It's, you know, private municipal code of these, you know, bankrupt corporation calling itself state of whatever. So anyways, the So this goes the other way too. Like one of the and I kind of interrupt people. You know, when you're talking about doing drugs, like ripping lines of coke, for example, I heard a guy talking about
in front of his kids.
Yeah, his kids are like just, you know, right there.
What about your kids?
I didn't have kids. They weren't around. This was actually like out of like a truck pull.
For some reason, in my mind, it's like, if you're talking about something like 5 years ago, even, I'm like, oh, and where were your kids? Because in my mind, you always had them, but they're not 5 years old.
They were a twinkle in my eye. Anyways, so like this is like, I don't know, 15 years ago, I guess, is when I lived in Massachusetts. These guys are like talking about doing coke and like just the college. It was college. They were talking about like the college nonsense, the partying, and they're like, oh, those were the great days. You know, I was, you know, playing college ball, and we would do coke because we couldn't smoke weed, because if we smoked weed, we couldn't play college ball.
Yeah.
And like, and if you and you know, and if you did coke, you weren't hungover and all this stuff. And like, I don't even, you know, this is just what these guys were talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't, like, say anything to him. I'm like, whatever. But, like, I'm thinking now, like, man, I would have been like, dude, don't talk that about your front of your kid. And, like, now, like, these guys on, like, Facebook, they're like, kids are, you know, into coke.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's surprising.
And you're like, that was one example. And another thing that I want to throw out there is it's kind of a little polar opposite is when you have divorced parents. So if you have divorced parents so a lot of times you have single moms, and understand, being a single mom is an impossible task.
Yeah, it seems like it's me. Like, I never thought much about it, but we were talking last week about a friend I know who her and her boyfriend just kind of split, and I just go over there and hang out and hold the baby and talk to her.
Nice.
I can't even imagine, like, taking care of one baby by myself. She has multiple.
Right. So anyways, real quick, some statistics on being a single mom. So children raised by a single mom have all of this, like, horrible, like, statistical things happen to them. They're 20 more times more likely to go to jail. The women, the boys are 20 times more likely to go to jail. The girls are like several times more likely to commit suicide.
Whoa.
They're several times more likely to get pregnant as a teenager. They are the girls are like several times more likely to repeat the pattern of getting pregnant by multiple baby daddies. What is it, like something like 85% or 91% of the prison population are fatherless kids. The psychiatric, you're being in a mental institution is like a lot of so this is all fatherless. And then the statistics show that a children raised by a single father and a mother and a father turn out the same. The statistics. So when you're raised by a single mom as a child, it's really bad because mom has an impossible job. Now, the welfare industrial complex has been subsidizing single moms basically since, you know, right after World War II, because, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, men went to war and didn't come home, and there was a whole bunch of single moms, and so the government's like, oh yeah, we got to give these moms money, take care of them. And when you subsidize something, you just create more of it. So like, if you subsidize welfare, you're going to get to the point to where all of the cities that have the big welfare programs and are comfortable to live are going to be lined with, the streets will be not lined with gold, but poop. You got a bunch of junkies. Because all the junkies are on welfare. All the homeless people doing drugs are on welfare. All the people that are overdosing have an EBT card. Just ask any first responder. They will tell you that. So the thing is so a lot of these single moms will, like, talk so much smack about the father. Talk horrible about him. And a lot of these single moms are not lying with what they're saying about the father, right? Yeah. Because there is just a whole bunch of deadbeat dads. Mm-hmm. Because they've been demasculated. They have, the state has sort of replaced the father. The single moms don't need, you don't see any malnourished. Well, they are technically malnourished if they're really fat, but you don't see any, like, really scrawny, skinny, starving to death, you know, children being raised by single parents, because the single moms all get an EBT card and they can go buy their ho-hos and sugar and junk food and, you know, Coca-Cola, you know, basically infused, you know, baby formula or whatever. And but the same thing with, you can totally wreck a kid's brain by crap-talking, bad-mouthing the parent, or, for that effect, bad-mouthing anyone that kid loves or worships. Hmm. So a lot of these, like, young boys that are being raised by a single mom, by default, they are going to worship whatever they see for men out there. So if they're on internet devices and they're, you know, playing Grand Theft Auto, they're going to and they're seeing, you know, what's going on, or TikTok, the algorithm is feeding them, you know, a whole bunch of garbage.
Entertainment.
Of whatever. And so you have a lot of kids essentially being, you know, raised by the algorithm. The algorithm is feeding them, you know, these kind of things, and it's sort of what they're turning into. But getting back to talking bad about the about your ex, about the baby's father, for example. I've seen dads that talk bad about the mother, and I'm like, dude, you cannot do that. Your kid, you just can't. And they're like, it's true. And they say the same thing to somebody's moms. They're talking bad about the dad, and it's true. Well, what it does is it demoralizes that kid. There's nothing more demoralizing than, you know, as a little boy, that your daddy, you know, is a piece of garbage, and then to hear it again and again and again. And a lot of times the mom isn't even saying it to the kid. This is a conversation the mom is having with someone else. And I said to a mom a couple years, oh man, she got so mad at me. She's single. She's got a 2-year-old little boy, or maybe it's a year and a half. And I'm like, hey, you've been talking crap about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole time I've been here.
And even if it's true.
And she's like, well, it's true. And why are you, I'm not. And she just immediately thinks I'm attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually at a camping trip. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm not attacking you. But, like, that kid is going to not resent the father. He's going to resent you. And you're just being a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and she's just talking to, you know, one of her girlfriends or something, venting.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to vent, that's fine. You want to talk about how bad this guy is and how much he's ruined your life, and, you know, because, you know, the dude's a deadbeat dad. You know, he's like, he's a drug addict. He's doesn't pay any child support. You know, he's like one of the, and actually he's been like 4 years now. I guess the kid's like 6, and like the dad's like, oh hey Johnny, I'm coming over on Friday and to get you, and like, you know, the kid's like waiting there for dad. He's so happy he's gonna see dad. Just doesn't show up because dad got paid on Thursday and dad went and did drugs all weekend, and like, he's one of these guys that, like,
so
he goes to back to work when he's not doing the drugs. You know, like, I know the guy, you know, I know the guy he works for occasionally. And so anyways, if you're getting divorced, or if you're not with the mother, and like your friend there that you were telling me about, like both the mom and the dad need to understand they can't trash talk the kid's other parent because the kid will hate them. And so what does that do? That, like, that stimulates a part of the brain. Similar to, like, you know, I'm always talking about how the internet device stimulates, this, you know, the part of the brain that's stimulated by cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the part of the brain, that, so I don't know what part of the brain that, like, this, like, traumatizing stuff. There's a guy named Gabor Mate. If I wish I knew how to spell his name off the top of my head. But anyways, if you want to internet search him, he really writes on this. There's all kinds of great YouTube videos. This guy doing lectures, Gabor Mate. And
it's just like you think Gabormate with a, I forget what it's called, French cafe slash above it.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got like a little bit of an accent, and which I like listening to guys with accents because when they speak English and it's not like their first language, they're usually really clear about it, extra clear.
Oh.
Just in my opinion, you know, he's a good speaker. And in fact, that's like should be mandatory, like study what Gabor Mate has to say if you're planning on being a dad.
Hmm.
Or if you are a parent or if you're a grandparent.
Does he work on like brains or just it says trauma? It says he has a background in family practice and a special interest in childhood development, trauma, and potential lifelong impacts on physical and mental health, including autoimmune disease, cancer, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, addictions, and a wide range of other conditions.
Yeah, so this guy, what this guy has to talk, every word this guy says is quite literally gold. I'm putting together actually a packet I've been working on a little bit because I have actually a lot of friends are going to have a baby really soon. So I'm sort of putting together like a special packet, and I'm going to build a slideshow just for them. And then what's cool about this slideshow is I could put it into my Anarchapulco presentation that I'm going to do this winter. But anyways, the stressing the children's brain about talking, you know, smack about their father or their mother or their grandmother or their like favorite like baseball player, and even I've been a little guilty of this with a particular kid that like really loves playing video games.
Hmm.
And I'm like, dude, video games are bad, you know, they're messing your brain, and I'm just telling them all like truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid's like, he's not little, he was, you know, this was this past summer, he was I think he's like 13.
Yeah, and you think it's making him hate you because he loves video games?
Definitely annihilated him.
Hmm.
Definitely.
Hmm.
And and that made me aware that, you know of this. So because he like worships this, but he's addicted to video games. He has,
and
internet.
It makes sense, like kids don't work totally logically. Like if you're making fun of, or if you're talking smack about their dad in their brain, that might be like, well, I'm part my dad, so like I'm trash. You're saying I'm trash too.
Well, so you're right. So the average 12 or 13 year old that like grew up in an Amish farmhouse, for example, is probably super logical. Or the 13 year old that didn't grow up using an internet device his whole life, but like, you know, a kid who is 13 years old, let's say, you know, this past summer has literally had an internet device in his hand, like. His attention's been going there ever since I'm new to kids since he was five, and he was always, that's all he talked about was these stupid video games and all this crap. And what happened is he doesn't have logic and reasoning development because his brain has been wired by the internet device. And then here I come along, you know, it's like me talking to a four-year-old, you know, about, you know, how crappy his dad is or how crappy his mother is. But what I'm talking to is somebody who's essentially got the, you know, sort of the brain development of a 5 or 6 year old, but he's 13 years old. And, you know, he's more of a man than a boy at this point, you know, physically. And he got really upset with me. Like, he was like, you know, his mother was like, oh, you really upset him. You know? And I'm like, really? And I didn't, you know. But anyways, so I basically took his idol and tore it down, and with a very convincing argument. You know, and I wasn't like screaming at him.
Yeah.
I was just like talking to him, and he really couldn't go anywhere. And when I was particularly talking to him, and I was, you know, so I sort of had him like, kind of captured, you know,
because
where he was, you know, he just, we happened to be in the same room. And anyways, and I was just, you know, lecturing him, and he got really upset. So anyways, but, you know, he's you know, he's in really bad shape because he's just been allowed to, you know, game his whole life. And
probably something that like means so much more to him than you could have possibly known because he loves it so much because it's the only thing that, I don't know, he enjoys.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. It was,
it's so sad.
So anyways, Gaber Mate gets into, like, he talks about attention deficit disorder, which is like a huge thing. So what Gaber gets into about attention deficit disorder with the kids is like when mom and dad argue and there's like an infant and, you know, so at a certain point, a baby's like a pet rock. So I don't know how old your friend's baby is, but,
born in early October.
So basically that baby's like a pet rock. It just sits there and it drools and it poops and
she smiles though.
And it smiles, but is she crawling?
No.
Right, so it's a pet rock. So they're no longer a pet rock once they're crawling, right? Because now they're moving around.
When you're saying they're a pet rock, are you saying that even, like, conversations around them don't actually affect them?
No.
Because so I think they do.
Physically, they're like a pet rock. It's just kind of a saying.
Yeah,
and,
oh, okay.
But, so their brain's working, they're listening, and, like, if this mom and dad is not getting along, and this mom, let's say she getting a physical, a screaming match with dad.
Yeah.
And let's say that she's just on the phone, for example, and having a screaming match with dad, you know, on the other end of the phone, or they're doing it in person in front of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is that stresses that baby.
I bet,
because the only thing the baby knows, and the baby absorbs everything that comes from mom or dad. It's
probably really sensitive to emotions too at that time.
Oh, absolutely, because the brain is in like a big development stage. It's huge brain development, and you'll if you hang out with this friend often, like say you go hang out with her twice a week for the next 6 months, you are gonna like notice all these leaps. Like you just said, the baby's smiling.
Yeah.
Right. And was the baby smiling 3 or 4 weeks ago at you?
No.
You know, for example, so you've been making these observations. You're gonna say, oh wow, the baby's talking so good.
Yeah.
The baby's walking. Oh, the baby's running. You know, the baby's climbing. You know, and you're gonna like, you know, observe this, and that's awesome that you go over there and invest some time in this baby and give it some love, because if dad's not in the picture or whatever is going on, if there's stress, like that's just, you know, like you're gonna be like auntie body, and that baby's gonna love you forever, you know, because of that.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, like the baby, so like. If Joe and I start having a screaming match in this room and you can't handle it, you can just leave.
Yeah.
Actually, this is your house, so you could just tell us to leave.
Yeah.
Or you could just leave. But a baby can't do that. So this fragments like the brain, causes like a lot of trauma.
Yeah, they don't want to. Isn't that kind of like dissociation? Like it really fragments the brain because they start to feel that they don't want to be there, but they can't leave, so they disassociate from the situation. Yep. I didn't know that really babies can do that, but I've definitely heard of like child rape victims.
Yep, same exact thing. That Gaber Mate, check him out. His information is gold.
603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Got any information about this subject we're talking about, you can bring it up, or if you want to change the subject, it's up to you because it's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The clock is ticking to deliver assistance to Ukraine, according to the White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Republicans need to act in good faith and show that they're serious, and they're not.
Speaking to reporters, she urged Congress to swiftly approve President Biden's comprehensive supplemental package, encompassing aid for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and border security. The House Committee on Education and the Workforce is investigating Harvard, MIT, and the University of Pennsylvania over allegations of rampant anti-Semitism. This inquiry comes after university leaders faced criticism during a congressional hearing for not explicitly stating whether calls for the genocide of Jews violate campus rule on harassment. Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says Congress must act to prevent gun violence.
This is a moral imperative, not just a political obligation.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Jay, and Joa.
And I wanted to tell you about amps.freetalklive.com. Amps.freetalklive.com is a place you can go to amplify, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Sorry, it took me a second to remember that. You can go there to support the show. And I would like to thank Crash Gordon, who's a gold-level amplifier. That means he is at least giving $10 a month to support the show. So thank you so much, Crash Gordon, for being an amplifier. He is promoting, amplifying, marketing, promoting, and supporting the show. So thank you so much to Crash Gordon. And if you would like to become an amplifier, too, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. I'm going to go straight into the phone calls. Anonymous caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Going once, going twice.
Oh, are you there, caller? Yeah, no, I think no one's there. Okay, but hey, Jay, didn't you have something you would like to promote to the listeners?
Oh, yes. So this February in Acapulco, Mexico. I will be presenting at the 10th annual Anarchapulco. So go to anarchapulco.com to check it out. There is a whole list of speakers that's going to be there. It's been a very successful conference, has great reviews. There's a lot of good information. And I will be essentially presenting on investing in our posterity, how not to screw your children up. You know, I'm going to be talking about like psychological issues. I'm going to actually be getting some of the Gabor mate stuff into it. I am going to have suggestions for expecting parents. I'm also going to have suggestions for the people who don't have kids that aren't going to have kids. Mm. You know, the women that are, you know, post 40 something, the men in their 50s who, you know, are just not looking to get with a girl because they don't want to get divorced and lose half their stuff. Mm. And that's, you know, and then you have the dinks. The
what kind of stuff do you tell? Oh, yeah, dinks. That's a new word.
Dual income, no kids.
What kind of stuff do you have to tell people who can't have kids or won't have kids?
To invest in somebody else's kids, to invest in a family. So a lot of these dinks, for example, have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't saved any money since my kids have been born, but man, I am very thankful I saved before my kids were born. But I also, you know,
well, they don't sound like they're saving. Sorry, for the most part, those people that come on the internet and brag about being dinks, we're dinks. We can buy $8 lattes every day. That's just dumb. Anyway, like, well, even if you're whoever you are.
That's sort of city urban liberal type people.
Yeah.
Doing just, that kind of stuff.
I don't have a problem with anyone who decides to not have kids. It's not even like I'm having kids. It's just that these people who are making these videos about being dinks, all they're bragging about is the most materialistic and dumb stuff.
Right, yeah.
It's the bragging just part that kind of really distracts everyone.
It's like, yeah.
But, like, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have kids. A lot of gay couples out there don't have kids.
So,
and their money just dies with their
inheritance. Just donate your money.
Well, it goes to friends and stuff, but it's
no,
like,
you can, like, donate it to something really good. I mean, like, lots of people who have kids, their money just goes to their kids' stupid college funds or, like, whatever, drugs or whatever.
But I find, like say, like, Provincetown, Massachusetts, it's, mm-hmm. it's like they say, it's like a place where money dies. Yeah, because, like, the money isn't inherited. So they literally, these people just spend all their money while they're alive.
Oh, I see.
And, yeah, so it's just a really wealthy area just because of that factor, you know.
So what do I tell people? Well, you really should come to Anarchapulco February 11th through 16th so you can hear this.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just give I'm going to give a little bit because the information is super important.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to the childless people, I want them to invest in our posterity. All right, so our posterity, the posterity of founding fathers, is the future generations, future kids. So there's, for several reasons. Well, first off, we're all going to need someone to take care of us someday. Everybody's going to need someone to take care of them at some point in their life. So if you don't have any kids, if you don't have anybody who loves you, it all comes down to love. If you don't have somebody younger that is able-bodied and cares about you to at least make sure you're being treated well in your nursing home, or at least you're in a good nursing home, life's going to really suck for you. Also, if you're when you start getting to be this age, 60, 70 years old, and you don't have any kids, you by default become one of the people I talk about that lacks confidence, that begs for government. Because especially like all these single women that don't have any children, not so much the single men, but the single women who don't have any children, you know, they're the ones voting for, you know, Biden. You know, they're the ones that are going to, and also there are a lot of those, you know, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them have been kind of, you know, bought this, you know, feminism nonsense, and they're, you know, and they refuse to realize that there was a big mistake to go along with this feminism crap, that you don't need a man, you know, you can be independent. And then they also start freaking out because they never had any kids, that part of the brain development didn't happen, you know, they're feeling crap. They've hit this wall, essentially. Now, I know a handful of older women that have invested heavily in, you know, their sister's kids or the friends down the road kids. Or, like, I know a farm here in New Hampshire where you know, there's the grandparents are essentially dinks. And then the parents of the kids have been friends with, let's call them, I call them the surrogate grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
So now there's like there's a 9-year-old and 11-year-old girl, and mom and dad are 40, and the surrogate grandparents are, you know, 60. I don't really know how old they are, actually. Yeah. Say 60. And they are constantly doing stuff with the kids. They're helping the kids out. They babysit the kids. They teach the kids, like, just all the, like, things they know. And, like these grandparents, surrogate grandparents, are, like, they're very well-educated. They're smart. They get a lot of knowledge. I don't know if they have money or not. I don't think they're hurting. But anyways, they get tremendous joy and they're experiencing life satisfaction just like they have children and a family. And that, like, they are just so, like, grateful that they have this, you know, sort of adopted family. Hmm. And they've been friends with the parents 25 years or something. You know, they've known them for a long time. But if you don't have that, like life's going to, you know, is going to get, like, you're going to get to this point in life to where it's going to be scary. Who's going to help you? Who's going to come? And especially if the world, like, gets, like, very unstable or you're part of the world. So children are really important. So I want to, you know, convince these people that are older, that are not going to have any kids, to invest in some kids. And I sort of have some ideas how to do it. And also, like, you know, I care about, you know, there's just so many good people I know that just aren't going to have any kids. They're older. And it's like, I know of probably about 6 or 7 of them off the top of my head that, like, basically don't have anybody in their life who's going to, you know, wipe their butt for them.
Hmm.
Or just be like, oh, you can come live in my house. You know, you don't have to go to that nursing home.
Hmm.
But the return on investment that you will get from investing in children and investing in families and being kind and, you know, helping out with this stuff. And then because you're older and wise, and maybe I can, you know, help you understand some things about brain development and helping the kids earn the dopamine hits. And you teach the kids things, whether it's like how to ride a bicycle, how to play the piano, how to ride a horse, you know, how to drive the car, that, like, the kids can, like, earn appreciation from, or even teach the kids a skill. Like, I know a guy who's a blacksmith. He's actually, he's in his 80s now, and he doesn't have any kids. And he was sort of a mentor to me a little bit, you know, when I was younger. And he is actually, what he has done is he moved in a family with him who was basically the father. He was an apprentice in his blacksmith shop, and then the dad went and, you know, that this guy went and he worked in a machine shop and he did this stuff. But as a teenager, he was an apprentice for him and he worked for this old guy. Quincy's actually the man's name. And he lives down in Massachusetts. And now he he's very successful. And he was actually a horseshoer, this Quincy.
Yeah, that's really hard.
And it is. And he's a little fella. And he, like, doesn't shoe horses anymore. But horseshoer, not shoot. As in a farrier, he puts shoes on horses' hooves.
Yep.
Let me make that clear.
That's what I was asking. That's a hard job, isn't it? I've always heard that.
Yeah, my brother is a horseshoer. I was a horseshoer for a lot of years. I was a farrier. And, yeah, it's physically demanding. But if you do it a lot and you're healthy and you don't get beat up and, you know. But anyways, so this guy has a family living with him, you know, and he basically has, you know, so the state's not going to get his house. The state's not going to get his farm. The state's not going to get his farm equipment because this guy has his kids are going to get it. And they're not even his kids.
Hmm.
And it just happened to be this one guy that, you know, was a teenager, worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he got married and this, that, and the other thing. And, like, the guy's got a father and stuff like that. But his wife and his kids all live with this old man in his great big beautiful house. And the old man's like, last talked to him, he's like, you know, my life's complete. You know, this is wonderful. And like, so I saw this happen. You know, I've known this guy since I was a little kid myself.
Mm-hmm.
And And I saw this happen. So, like, this is a beautiful thing because I've also seen the opposite thing happen. You know, I've had, like, a lot of horse customers over the years that are, like,
getting old,
single people. And, you know, 3 weeks later, 3 weeks after they die, you know, somebody, you know, like, oh, the house is stinking. And call the cop. And, yep, sure enough, they're in their dead. They died by themselves, you know. And it's like, well, what's happening to their stuff? Oh, well, they didn't have a will or you know, the church is getting it. But, like, I know one guy, he's probably worth $5-7 million. And no will, no nothing. He died at, like, 62. He died kind of young. He was, you know, not real healthy. But, like, all of his stuff, the state just got it. The state of Massachusetts just got it.
That's
what
true.
A shame. So, like...
Yeah, people should definitely have
pick somebody
wills.
To give it to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and make these relationships and invest in power study. So, like, the people who aren't going to have any kids are going to be dependent on government. They're going to vote for government to point guns at us to take care of them. So I want to avoid that.
Yeah.
They're going to have a horrible, like... not good quality of life, you know, for their final years. And, you know, and I see this old dude, Quincy, who he's actually in pretty good shape from what I understand, but, like, he's being well taken care of and just has such a great quality of life because he chose to invest. He actually invested in a lot of kids, teaching them blacksmithing, taking them horseshoeing with him, you know, helping them out with, like, horse related stuff. And so he won. You know, he didn't have to change a diaper.
Yeah.
But anyways, Anarchapulco, February 11th through 16th. There is going to be a whole bunch of speakers there. It's, you know, the anarchists are gathering in beautiful Acapulco. I am looking forward to it. You're going to be able to meet me, my wife, my kids, and my kids are just awesome. Everybody loves them, you know, that meets them because, you know, they're just... I'm just trying to set the example of what we need to do to have liberty in our lifetime, and we have to build Generation Next to be resilient, competent, polite, fun, valuable, and attractive.
And one thing that ties into something we were talking about last night that I was just thinking of when you're talking about, like, choosing kids, if you don't have kids, choose them to help take care of it or whatever, is I think that reality is literally just the aggregate of what everybody imagines and thinks and feels and then puts out into the world. I mean, that's literally what the definition of reality is, that everybody creates it together. It's not just, you can't create your own reality. I think that's a misled interpretation of, like, the laws of attraction and stuff, like, oh, you can have any type of life you want if you use the power of your mind. Like, that's a misinterpreted way of seeing it. It's more just... everybody together can, and that it's a lot less magical sounding that way. But if you're getting old and everyone's kids around you are just getting crappier and crappier, well, that's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I do think of is, like, if you help choose some kids that, like, especially if you think that they're, like, not, their parents are, you know, are at a disadvantage, like they're poor or something like that, and you help, you're just helping that little part of society grow up to be better. Like, I know that people with both their parents have a huge advantage. Sometimes when people talk about how bad their lives were from their parents just simply being divorced, that they didn't even beat them or anything like that, I feel almost like, oh, I feel not guilty, like I know it's not my fault, but I feel like, oh, I feel a little privileged that compared to them, because, like, just my parents being together made so much about life easier and better for me.
I mean, you, for example, you know, I view you as, like, a valuable woman.
Oh.
And a lot of that is because you had your parents there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was talking about dating this girl. I think he's, like, 15 years old. And I'm like, so the most important thing is what's her parents like? What's her relationship with her dad? And she's like, oh, yeah, her dad's, like, a deadbeat, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, don't fall in love with this girl right away. You need to, like, feel this out. I didn't tell him to just, like, not do anything, because he would totally fall in love with her probably if I'm like, no, don't do this. I'm like, you know, just like, you got to feel it out. You got to, like, it takes a year or more for the dirt to come out in the wash, right? Like, because people can be on their really good behavior for several months in a
relationship.
Especially
if you live with them, like, you're a high schooler and you just see them at high school.
Yep.
After hours.
And she's a very cute girl. And I'm like, if she's going to put out, like, real easy, she's going to put out for anybody real easy. Don't think you're special, you know, things like that. And
the other thing is, I always want to tell girls, and I never do because it's like no one's going to listen to me and it sounds mean, but I want to tell somebody really close to me in my life that I don't like her boyfriend because, like, many reasons. And I think a huge thing is men, they have grown up without both parents in their lives, or especially without a dad, mm-hmm. they feel so sorry for themselves for the rest of their life. Like, yep. they can't imagine...
Victim mentality. Yep,
that nothing that they do to you could possibly yep. be that big of a deal, because I just feel so sorry for myself for the rest of my life because I didn't have a dad. Like, and they may not be thinking that in the front of their brain. Like, that's not front and center in their mind, but that's how they act. And I would never date a guy without a dad.
A lot of that victim mentality programming, I believe, is not just from not having a dad, but it definitely, like, the seed for the victim mentality of not having dad in life for both the boys and the girls is, like, that seed's there. And the fertilizer and the water for that victim mentality is, like, sort of the school, like the public school culture. You know, the public school, the critical race theory, especially with the black kids, you know, being told that, like, you
they're
know,
victims.
They're victims, they can't do this, they're facing oppression, and then saying that these guys got white privilege and all that stuff. And then another part of this investment thing that I would like to, like, suggest to a lot of people is, so we have a lot of single moms with children. We have a lot of single moms with multiple children. 23% of the children in the United States are being raised by a single parent. 80 to 90% of those kids are being raised by just a mom. Hmm. And so we have, and the thing is, too, in the dating marketplace, like, I know a handful of single, I know a bunch of single moms. We all know a bunch of single moms. They're everywhere. And it seems like, and from what and even just like you start, you know, listening to some of these things, like I do a lot of research, TED Talks, and like when I'm working and or whatever, doing stuff and listening to like these, you know, YouTube podcasts about, you know, family life and like the, you know, the dating and like, you know, you have Just Pearly Things, you know, she's pretty good.
I hate her.
it's okay. I think she has a lot of value in what she's going to talk about. And I don't agree with everything she says, but but definitely there's like a lot of good stuff there.
The other thing is she doesn't practice what she preaches. Like, she is ugly, doesn't take care of herself, and is fat. And then she acts like every other woman is trash if they've like had sex with more than one guy. You're not even trying to be attractive, and she's almost 40.
So,
decent husband.
I'm like, I don't disagree with you, put it that way. But that's like, so like her, like, you know, this is like the shock value of like earning a dopamine hit as a YouTuber.
That's probably what it's all
about. As far as I'm concerned.
That's what I think she does.
So I'm not going to discount her for that because she does bring a lot of, you know, she is actually, I think she has value. So anyways, so, for example, where was I going with this? Oh, so we have a whole bunch of single moms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the world average of children being raised by single parents is 7%.
Mm-hmm.
China's like 3.5%. But the United States is 23%. It's the highest in the world. And it's because the American government, the U.S. government, you know,
gives you a bunch of money.
Is subsidizing single moms.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's no fault divorce. Like, I know so many people that have gotten divorced that legally couldn't have gotten divorced.
State guides people to separate.
Yeah.
Like when I say guided, they encourage them to make up stories,
yep.
encourage the you know, the system to work in their favor when they make little lies, and this is a way for them to separate men from their family,
yep.
and I think it's purposeful. I think it's done on purpose. It's trained
yes.
into these kids generationally. And public schools are not helping because, you know, the public schools are really just a filter for the kids and like how the parents are treating the kids. So, you know, the kids are asked at school, you know, like, do your parents touch you? Do they beat you? Do they do this, do that, do that? And the next thing you know, they're taking the kids away.
Yeah,
or
social emotional learning is what that's called. They have these, not quizzes, but surveys they'll give out to kids without the parents' knowledge, and it'll
right.
say stuff like, have you ever tried marijuana? How are you sexually active? And then they'll end up...
I actually remember in second grade...
Oh, they were already doing that?
Yeah, it was 1987, maybe? I was 7 years old, I think. But yes, I do remember them saying, do you know what marijuana smells like?
Whoa.
Or pot, or weed. Like, yeah. They had, like, all the stuff. Have you ever seen this powder? Have you ever seen anybody snort it? Like, there was...
Well, so they're trying to get you to tell on your parents, basically.
I couldn't believe how many kids were like, oh, yeah, my dad does that. My mom does that. And the thing is, kids know everything.
I just think that the state shouldn't be the solution.
Or right, the right. Parents.
Because the state is like, angling it from one side or another to, like I said, lie to get things done. But then they're really getting rid of that nuclear family, you know, yes. sort of vibe. And so they don't want those dynamics because it's easier to control people when they're confused or yes. adolescent and their brain isn't developed and all that stuff. So, like, these are important things that they want to prevent from happening in humanity.
Yeah, they want access to people's kids, for sure.
Lily
yeah.
Tang Williams actually would touch on this a lot, talking about Mao's cultural revolution.
And she grew up in China during Mao.
Communist China, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that point that Joe brought up is really, like, I have the exact evidence and the reason, and I have a very good explanation of why the state wants the parents to be divorced. But first I want to get back to what I was talking about with the single mom epidemic. So we have all these single moms, and single moms are just not desirable in the dating place. And so here's what's happening with single moms is you have single moms in their 30s or 40s, and they are, they're still attractive, like, physically. A lot of them have, like, attractive personalities. A lot of them are really, like, trying hard. They're doing a good job. And there's definitely some of them that are not. There's some of them that are just welfare trash, and they're just getting run through by, you know, whatever F-boy they can come up with. You know, there's all kinds of elements out there. But I definitely know of, you know, personally know probably close to a dozen single moms. I have a few kids that are, like, really great. Mm. And they're, like, not bad looking, or they're good looking, and they can't get a boyfriend.
Yeah, and I think that's I cannot blame anyone for not being attracted to you, what they're not attracted to.
But I think I have a solution to this.
Hmm.
We have a bunch of these wealthy, older men who I think would be a great sugar daddy situation. And these moms could get, you know, I would love there was some kind of dating service to get, like, these sugar daddy type dads. And I'm not talking, like, creepy guys. There'd have to be some kind of thing. But, like, children need a father figure. There's these guys that they aren't fathers. They don't have any kids. And they would love to have some kind of life, somewhere to invest in. And I think that's, like, something to explore.
Yeah.
Jay's dating service.
Jay's seeking arrangement. So that's kind of what that already is a little bit. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.